Welcome to this week's episode of Everything Under the Sun, a weekly podcast answering all the most pressing questions children around the world have about life on this beautiful earth. Let's begin with our first question, which is a brilliant one from Sam. Take it away, Sam.
My name's Sam. I'm from England and I like swimming and I'm four and... Why do people's voices sound different?
Hi, Sam. Great to hear from you. Oh, I love swimming too. I've been swimming in the sea this morning here in Bali. Thank you so much for sending in that question. Well, you're so right. Each one of us sounds different when we speak. Our voices sound different depending on our age. Children generally have higher voices and adults lower voices. And how your voice sounds is also affected by where you live and where you come from. Someone from the north of your country might say a word differently to someone in the south. But why does all this happen? I asked Guru Sandhu to help me out on this one, as he's a doctor who specialises in the human voice. He helps musicians, singers and actors with problems they might have with their voices. It's really important to keep our voice powerful and strong, especially if you're performing. Now, he knows lots about why our voices sound the way they do. So over to you, Guru.
Hi, Sam. My name is Professor Sandhu and I am a voice and throat doctor. You have just asked a very clever and interesting question. If I could get you to think about or look at pictures of musical instruments that you blow into, they all have pipes of different shapes and sizes. The smaller pipes make higher sounds or squeakier sounds. The larger pipes make lower and deeper sounds. The shape of the pipe also changes the sound as it travels through it. The sound that goes through the pipe is either made by the person's lips or a reed that is attached to the instrument that the person blows into. In people, there is no reed, but you have a thing called a voice box that sits in your neck. In you, this is quite small. In your dad, your uncle, or a male teacher, this is quite large. You probably have a higher, squeakier voice than these other people that I've mentioned. They have a deeper voice. This is a bit like the voice of a mouse compared to a voice of a lion. People also have pipes that this sound that the voice box makes travels through, but you can't see these pipes. The pipes are actually the throat, the nose, and the mouth. If you pinch your nose and speak, you will see that you sound differently, but this is because the piece of pipe that is your nose gets closed off. In everyone, these pipes have different shapes and lengths. The size of your voice box also makes a difference to the sound that comes through. And the shape and the size of these pipes change the sound of the voice as it comes through. So this is the main reason that people have different voices. The other reason that people have different voices is that we learn to talk the way our parents or our teachers or our grandparents or other people around us talk. And these are called accents. And in different parts of the country, even though everyone is speaking the same language, these accents mean that we talk a little bit differently. I hope this helps. I wish you a great day. Bye.
Thank you so much for that super interesting answer, Guru. It's absolutely fascinating to think of our airways, our noses, our throats and our mouths as a system of pipes, which our voice box sends sound through, just like a musical instrument. Everybody is different, so it makes sense that all of our voices are slightly different too. We're like very clever instruments making beautiful, unique sounds. It's also interesting to know that accents in different areas develop because you learn to speak from the people around you. The way you talk is passed on from generation to generation and between friends and family, so the way you speak is a gift passed down over many years by, hopefully, hopefully the people who love you, so be proud of it. I hope that answers your question, Sam, and thank you for sending it in. And thanks for that fascinating answer, Guri. And now for our next question from Florence, which is about a special sound which our voices can make if we speak into large, empty spaces. Over to you, Florence.
Hi, Molly. I'm Florence. I'm Miss Money Four. And I like writing on my computer. And I like stone to drink. My question is, how do echoes work?
Hey, Florence. Ooh, I like working on my computer. I'm using it right now to research and write this and record even this podcast. Thank you for sending in that great question. Can you think of a time you've been in a big empty space, like on top of a mountain, in a school hall, in an echoey train station or a cave? While you were there, you might have made a sound like shouting, "Hello!" And you might have heard this sound repeated back to you by the big empty space. Hello. This can be quite magical, hearing your own voice coming back to you from your surroundings. But how does an echo work? Well, it's important we understand what sound is. Sound is made by air moving back and forth or vibrating. When we hear a sound, it's air vibrating in our ears. When you shout, "Hello," you're making vibrations in the air from the power of your voice box. The little air vibrations your voice box makes start a chain reaction with the particles in the air, so the vibrations are passed along from particle to particle through the air until they reach someone's ears. And then the ears turn the vibrations into sound, and you can hear the noise. And the same is true for all sounds. If you pluck a guitar string, for example, the string vibrates, which vibrates through the air until it reaches an ear. This movement of sound through the air is known as a sound wave. Now, when a sound wave hits a hard, flat surface, it bounces back, like throwing a ball against a wall. A sound wave bouncing back is what makes an echo. The chain of vibrations moving through the air hit the hard, flat surface and start travelling back towards your ear, so you hear the sound again. Most of the time, you don't hear the echo. Sound waves are being reflected back to you all the time. But if the sound wave hasn't had very far to travel before it bounces off a flat surface, the echo comes back less than a tenth of a second behind the original sound. Imagine you bounce your tennis ball against a wall 1 meter away. The ball will bounce back quickly. Because of this small break in time between the echo and the original sound, your brain only recognises one sound. But because the sound wave has been reflected, it's still bouncing back into your ears with more power and volume. That's why people like singing in the shower. The sound wave from your voice is being reflected by the tiles of the shower back to your ears, and all the vibrations hang in the air a little longer. So your voice sounds loud and strong. Give it a try. Have a sing song in the shower and see how it sounds. But what about the echoes you can hear? Well, that happens when the distance the sound wave has to travel is a lot longer. To hear a proper echo, the time between the original sound and the reflected sound has to be at least 0.1 seconds. So imagine you're not in the shower, but you're in the middle of a huge, huge hall. The sound wave has to travel all the way to the walls on the side of the hall before bouncing off the hard surfaces and travelling back to your ear. Because of the delay, you'll hear a second sound, an echo. Best echoes are made by smooth, flat, hard surfaces because the sound wave then bounces straight back. Soft surfaces like carpets and curtains tend to absorb sound waves. Like if you bounce a tennis ball against a sofa, it's not going to bounce very far because soft surfaces scatter the sound wave in lots of directions with their uneven surfaces. So the echoes in your living room won't be strong, but somewhere like a canyon, a cave, or a valley, the echo will be way better. In New South Wales, Australia, there's a place called Echo Point, which sits in a valley surrounded by mountains, and it's famous for the amazing echoes you can hear there. Oh, I really want to go there now and say hello and hear a big echo coming back. Why don't you go and experiment with making echoes in a wide open space near you? And think about the incredible journey your sound wave is making for you to hear it as an echo. I hope that answers your question, Florence, and thank you for sending it in. Now that we've got thinking about the places on Earth that are perfect for echoes, let's move on to another question from Bruno about a very echoey place. Over to you, Bruno.
My name is Bruno. I am 8 years old. I live in London, England. My hobbies are music and football. My question is, how did the Grand Canyon open up? Bye.
Hi, Bruno. Ooh, you're a musician. You must be very good at making sound waves. Thanks for this question. Well, in case you don't know, the Grand Canyon is a huge crack in the earth in Arizona in the United States. If you haven't seen it, imagine a very dry, jagged dinosaur world with steep cliffs and tall rock towers. The ancient rock which makes up the canyon is orangey-red, but different layers of the rock are grey, green, pink and violet. The Colorado River flows through the bottom of it in between its massive colored rocks. There are amazing waterfalls and shimmering pools of water. The canyon is about 277 miles long, and in some places it's more than a mile deep, which can make it cold and dark at the bottom. It's a wonderful place, and about 5 million people go there every year. But how did it form? Well, it started 2 billion years ago, long before the dinosaurs. The land where the canyon is was originally formed from rocks made out of lava that went solid. Over millions of years, layers and layers of different sorts of rock were laid on top by ancient seas which washed over the land and by powerful winds. Around 70 million years ago, the Earth's surface changed because the plates which make up the Earth's crust started shifting. Think about these plates as jigsaw pieces which make up the world's surface. They're moving slowly, even now, and this movement causes land to change, form mountains, islands, and changes the shape of the world. The plates moving underneath the Grand Canyon cause the land there to shift higher and higher. Later, a little river started flowing through the land, and scientists think this river came around 5 to 6 million years ago. It started small, but as the land kept getting higher and higher, the river had to work harder to push through, and it grew bigger and stronger until it was powerful enough to carve its way downwards into the layers and layers of rock, exposing the different types and colours of rock all the way down in the canyon. Over the next few million years, other little streams escaped from the river, causing the canyon to spread more. There would have been flash floods and volcanic activity, landslides, and all of these things helped to shape the canyon and carve it into the strange and wonderful shapes which we can see today. Different parts of the Grand Canyon were carved out at different points in history, depending on how the river and the side streams were flowing at the time. Part of it, called the Marble Canyon, was made in the last 6 million years. But the Eastern Grand Canyon was formed earlier, maybe even as long ago as 25 million years ago. All this carving happened over a really long time, and it's still happening today. Still, the canyon is widening and changing, and now we can see all the way across it. But in another couple of million years, we might not be able to. I hope you get to go and see this amazing natural wonder. I've never seen it, but I would love to. What a wonderful part of the world. You could go whitewater rafting along the Colorado River, which would be a great way to see the canyon. I hope that answers your question, Bruno, and thank you for sending it in. Now that's our three questions for this week. I'm wishing you all a really lovely week listening to the beautiful different voices all around you, practicing your loudest echoes and dreaming of a visit to the Grand Canyon. Thank you again to Guri Sandhu for your fascinating answer on why people's voices sound different, and to Sam, Florence and Bruno for your questions. I loved answering them. Do remember, if you have a question you would like answered on Everything Under the Sun, just record yourself saying your name, your age, a bit about yourself and send me your question. You can do a video or an audio and send it to molly@everythingunderthesun.co.uk. Check out my website, mollyoldfield.com. And if you don't have a book already, well, why not? Get yourself to your nearest bookshop or order one online. Everything Under the Sun, a curious question for every day of the year, is filled with all of your questions and answered by loads of brilliant experts, illustrated by 12 artists, and I know you're going to love it. I'll be back next week answering more curious questions from children around the world in another episode of Everything Under the Sun. Thank you and goodbye!